Greetings, friends. Welcome back to the broadcast. I'm Sean, your host. The website is www.scriptureandprophecy.com. Well, we are resuming our gospel portion study, and we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 10, I believe. 1 through 13, excuse me. So chapter 16, 1 through 13, it's the parable of the dishonest manager. So I'm going to read that to you, and then I'm going to read the commentary on that parable from Matthew Henry. And then we're going to also resume our study in the book of Acts, and we're going to be reading chapter 11, which is just a continuation of Peter acknowledging that his ministry would also include the Gentiles, and he explains this to some of the other Jews, that the Gentiles had the Holy Spirit poured out upon them, and that God is clearly bringing them in relationship with himself. And so that's what Acts chapter 11 will be about. All right, without delay, let's go ahead and dig right in. Luke chapter 16, King James Bible, verse 1. He also said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him, and he said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be manager.' And the manager said to himself, 'What shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses.' So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, "And how much do you owe?" He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, "Take your bill and write 80. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourself by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into their eternal dwellings. One who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much, and one who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you to true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." Man, that's such a, that last verse about you can't serve two masters. This is what I keep saying about how the church spends so much time trying to be relevant to the world when it needs to be set apart from the world. And you see this, I guess you would call them worldly Christians. Now, we all live in the world. We all have to interact with the world. But there's some who love the world, and they love pop culture and current, you know, and they're, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference between them and somebody who was a non-Christian. And God's saying, look, you can't serve both. You know, you can't be devoted to the world and specifically money and be devoted to God. I mean, you're either going to love one and hate the other. That's the only, those are the only options at the end of the day. Now, the other parts of this parable may seem confusing, because it almost seems like if you at a first glance at, you know, because the master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. But Jesus points out that the sons of the world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generations than the sons of light. And he's making this point, if you can't be faithful in the very little things, if you can't be faithful, you know, if you're faithful with much, one who is faithful in very little. So if you're faithful with a little bit, if you can prove that you can be faithful with just a little, then it's logical to conclude that you can be faithful with a lot. But if you're dishonest in even the little things, you're also going to be dishonest in the big things. He says, then if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, so like the worldly things that you're entrusted to deal with, how can you be entrusted with true riches, true reward, true riches? I want to read Matthew Henry's commentary before we move on to the book of Acts. Here's what he had to say. He said, whatever we have, the property of it is God's. We only have the use of it according to the direction of our great Lord and for his honor. This steward wasted his Lord's goods, and we are all liable to the same charge. We have not made due improvement of what God has entrusted to us. The steward cannot deny it. He must make up his accounts and be gone. This may teach us that death will come and deprive us of the opportunities we now have. The steward will make friends of his Lord's debtors or tenants by striking off the considerable part of their debt to his Lord. The Lord referred to in this parable commended not the fraud, but the policy of the steward. In that respect alone is it so noticed. Worldly men, in the choice of their object, are foolish. But their activity and perseverance, they are often wiser than believers. I wanted you to catch that part because that really kind of explains, I think, what Jesus is saying here. He says worldly men because Jesus makes the point that, you know, the worldly people are more shrewd in their dealings than those of the light. So Matthew Henry says worldly men in the choice of their object are foolish, but their activity and perseverance, they are often wiser than believers. The unjust steward is not set before us as an example in cheating his master or to justify dishonesty, but to point out the careful ways of worldly men. It would be well if the children of light would learn wisdom from the men of the world and would as earnestly pursue their better object. The true riches signify spiritual blessings. And if a man spends upon himself or hoards up what God has trusted to him, as to outward things, what evidence can he have that he is an heir of God through Christ? The riches of this world are deceitful and uncertain. Let us be convinced that those are truly rich and very rich, who are rich in faith and rich towards God, rich in Christ and the promises. Let us then lay up our treasures in heaven and expect our portion from thence. So at the end of the day, it's about wisdom. It's about being wise and being willing to persevere for things much more important than worldly possessions or worldly money. And in our dealings with the things of this world that God has allowed us to have, let us deal with them in righteousness and wisdom, and therefore, maybe we will be blessed enough to be entrusted with much more from God. All right, let's move on to Acts chapter 11, and let's continue our story, our study. Verse 1. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, Thou wentest in to men uncircumcised, and did eat with them? But Peter rehearsed this matter from the beginning, and expounded it by order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance, and I saw a vision. A certain vessel descended as it had been a great sheet let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me. Upon the which I had fastened my eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, Arise, Peter, slay and eat. But I said, Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. And behold, immediately there were three men already come unto the house where I was sent from Caesarea unto me. Where I was sent from Caesarea unto me. And the Spirit bade me to go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and was entered into the man's house. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, Send men to Joppa, and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell these words, whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell upon them, as on us at the beginning. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Notice that they said repentance unto life. Moving forward, verse 19. Now they, which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenice and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. Now, real quick. I'm sure I've mentioned this before, but I think one of the reasons that God allows persecution is because the outcome is usually a spreading of the gospel. In this case, it says that they were scattered abroad because of the persecution that arose about Stephen. Stephen was the first martyred Christian, the one who was stoned, and Paul was standing out there holding the coach, right? And also, it wants us to understand and know that at this point, the word was being preached to Jews only. So far, at this point, but we know that Gentiles are being brought in. Peter is aware of this because he had this whole thing. He just explained this to those of the circumcision, the other Jews, and they have accepted the fact that God has clearly granted repentance unto life to the Gentiles. Verse 20. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spoke unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent for the Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. Who, when he came, he had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Real quick, I like that line, and with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. You know, I've gotten some pushback at times when I would do some of my end time podcasts, and I would say, you know, the times we're living in, you really need to be cleaving to the Lord. You need to be gripping tight unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And people would be like, you don't have to cleave to the Lord. The Lord cleaves to you. Well, what's the scripture say right here? That with purpose of heart, they would cleave unto the Lord. It's a posture. It's an attitude. There's much to be relearned amongst the church today. It's almost like the church needs to unlearn all the New Age doctrinal lies that they've inherited over the last few decades. Really longer than that, but really badly over the last couple of decades. And relearn what the scriptures actually say. Relearn righteousness and holiness. Relearn repentance unto life. Relearn that desperate clinging to the Lord. Because He is your refuge. He is your strong tower. He is your only hope. When you really come to this, when you really realize that you are nothing left alone to yourself, that you can't save yourself, that you can't keep yourself from sin, that you can't do it on your own. When you realize that no matter how hard you try to walk in righteousness and holiness, you fall short. When you really come to that desperate understanding that of how desperate and dependent you are on the mercy of God and the salvation found only in the covering that comes from the shed blood of Jesus Christ, when you really grasp that, you do cleave to the Lord. You understand your desperate need for Him. We need to relearn that today. All right, we're almost done. A few more verses. Let me reread verse 23. Who, when he came, had seen the grace of God and was glad and exhorted them all with the purpose of heart that they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it came to pass that the whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout the whole world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. All right, that is the end of chapter 11, and that is the end of our study today. And I just pray in the powerful name of Jesus that it's blessed you and encouraged you and strengthened you in the Lord. There's something about the Word of God that just strengthens you in Him. And I pray that that work is happening in you today. Thank you for your prayers. They're much coveted, much needed. Please continue to pray for protection over this podcast, especially in an age where there's a lot of censoring and persecution of people who simply tell the truth. So please continue to pray. Thank you for your financial support. It means a lot to me and my family, and it just makes it easier to keep up with the equipment and those kind of things. So thank you very much for your support. Please remember the website, scriptureandprophecy.com. Trying to get some more writing and stuff up there. Hopefully the Lord will help me with that. Okay, that's all I have for you today. Peace and grace be with all of you. And until next time, God bless.